And a very good morning to Chris Schultz.
Kia ora, Catherine. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. What gems have you found for us this week?
Oh, the first one is not so much a gem. It's a bit of an unpolished diamond, if you like. It's the third day. This is the latest big budget drama show from HBO. And I do want to preface this bit by just reminding everyone that HBO are still the setters of they're the creators of the best TV around. They're still setting that bar so high. Some of the best shows over the past couple of years are the ones we all talk about the next day, you know, Chernobyl and Barry and Watchmen and at the moment Lovecraft Country. So they're still, you know, I think better than Netflix and all the other competitors that have come along. Having said that, we all fail sometimes, and the third day, It's not a failure. It's not quite up there amongst their best work. This is a 6-part show from a guy called Dennis Kelly, who you may not have heard of, but he doesn't make a lot of TV. When he does make TV, it tends to be really good. He's made one of my favourite shows of all time, and that's Utopia, which is currently being remade for Amazon Prime. He's a British guy, and this is a British show. It's set on a tiny little island called OC. It's a real-life island, kind of close to the coast near London. You can go there, but you can only get there at certain times of the day when the tides drop away and open up the causeway. So for a couple of hours, you can get out there. And this show is not going to do much for their tourism rates. It's a bit of a horror show. If you've seen The Wicker Man or the horror movie Midsommar for a couple of years ago, you'll know kind of what I'm talking about. It's about the residents of this island and their kind of religious zealots. Their beliefs kind of unspool as the show goes along, and you get to know more about some of the stuff they're into. But so this has got Jude Law in it. He's been, you know, he's a movie star, obviously, and he's been slumming it on TV lately. He's been doing great work in The Young Pope, and now this. He's really good in this. He's one of the best things. The camera's right up in his face from the first moments of the show, when he's bawling his eyes out next to a waterfall and floating a kid's T-shirt away on the stream. So he's, you know, his character Sam, he's obviously got this dark past, and he gets caught up in the inhabitants of this island. He gets stuck there. He can't get off. He keeps missing the tides. And so he kind of learns more and more about them. But yeah, it's a beautifully shot show. It's wonderfully made. I mean, you want to watch this on the biggest screen you possibly can. The shots of the causeway from, you know, a bird's eye view are just stunning. The beaches are stunning. There's beautiful abandoned buildings. Unfortunately, they just don't have a lot going on there. There's not a lot for these characters to do, and that's one of the problems. The other problem, I think, is that it's very stagey. They all kind of have crazy haircuts, and they've got big eyes, and they're raising eyebrows to the camera, and you kind of feel like it's been built for the stage rather than a TV screen. And that may have been the case, because they're doing this really strange thing with the show. They're splitting into two parts, so it's 6 episodes, 3 episodes focused on Jude Law's character, 3 episodes focused on another character who goes to the island. And then they're doing a live theatre show that you can stream, and I believe we can watch it in New Zealand. I think there's a small fee, but you can watch the 7th episode that's going to be streamed live. All of the actors from the show are going to be in this, and they're going to do this last final episode live, which is a massive risk, but maybe that'll make more sense, you know, the theatrical elements of it once we see that stage version of it.
Okay. To Rose Matafeo's latest. It's on Neon.
Finally, yeah, we gave Neon a bit of stick last time for delaying this. It's been about a month since this came out in America, and for good reason. This is incredible. It's an absolute stunner. This is Rose Matafeo's 2018 Edinburgh Award-winning comedy show. That's the top award. That's basically the top comedy award that you can win, and she won it. This is filmed live in front of a studio audience in London, I believe, and it's just, it's brilliant.
It's called
Horn Dog. It's loosely about her love life, but it's not really. It's more of just like a millennial scattershot take on a whole kind of bunch of things. So she takes in K-pop and social media and British rock bands from the 2000s, and it's kind of brilliant. I've watched this twice now, and I knew it was going to be good. I just didn't know it was going to be this good, and it really is stunning. I don't have enough superlatives for it, really. It's just the kind of thing you want to sit down and really take in. It's brilliant. And, you know, this is the start of really big things for Rose. She has signed an HBO deal to make a 6-part series for them and the BBC. Next month, her first lead role in a movie comes out called Baby Done. And I really think we need to start considering her among like the Tykers and the Flight of the Conchords now. You know, that's the kind of level she's on. When you see how many panel shows she's been on in the UK as well, her rise has been kind of phenomenal.
So Horndog is on Neon, and finally The Social Dilemma, which is on Netflix.
It's a Netflix movie, and ironically, you've probably seen a lot of people on your social media feeds talking about this film lately. It came out last week, and it is about the perils of social media. So I watched this on Monday morning, and it's a horror show. It's terrifying. It's really depressing. It really lays bare exactly what social media is doing to us. And I mean a lot of us know, right, that social media isn't great for us. We know we shouldn't spend too much time on Twitter or Facebook, but this really just shows how bad it is. You know, when they talk to the creators of some of these tools, you know, they talk to the guy who invented the like button or the guy who invented the YouTube algorithm that just serves you up endless video clips of what you like or what it thinks you like. And these guys have all completely stepped away from that industry, and they're outright telling people not to use it. It's kind of obvious that these are bad things, and then they show like self-harm and suicide rates going up along with the teens using it. So
how many insiders are there? Is there one narrator, or are they talking to a lot of people?
Yeah, there's one main guy who worked at Google. And he when he was at Google, he made a little movie for everyone who worked there, kind of encouraging his workmates to use what they were learning for good and not for you know, making their products addictive. And it kind of went viral around Google. His name's Tristan Harris, by the way, and he kind of has become this watchdog. He does kind of live shows kind of warning people about exactly what it's doing, and he's the main guy, but they talk to all kinds of other people. They, you know, like I said, they talk to the guy who invented the like button, and all of these guys say, don't let your kids use this, just take it off them. They shouldn't be allowed to use it. And, you know, as a dad with a 10-year-old who's going to be coming into that kind of, you know, area of his life, he's getting interested in it, he's using the internet more, it's definitely made me think a lot about what kind of role that's going to take over the next few years in his life. And it's also made me question my usage of it. But, you know, that's the irony, right? Like, I watched this film, then I jumped on Facebook Messenger and started asking my friends if they'd seen it, what they thought, and then I jumped on Twitter to see what other people's reactions were. So we're hooked.
I think that's it. I'm trying to think of that fantastic book. It's not going to come to my head. The Hacking of the American Mind by Larry... Oh, flip. It's a fantastic book. It talks about all our addictions. Social media is just one of them. And look, it's not like anything is absolutely good or absolutely bad. It's just the human brain's crack addictions. We just have to learn to somehow moderate or know when we're getting into a certain level of addiction that's unhealthy. But good luck with sorting out social media when it comes to that. Thanks, Chris. Really appreciate it. Chris Schultz with what he has been viewing.